بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أنا الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمد عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدى هدى نبينا صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. In keeping with the hadith and the instruction and command of our Prophet and our Nabi, Abu Qasim al-Mustafa al-Amin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said, "Man lam yashkur al-nas, lam yashkur Allah." Whoever does not thank the people, he has in fact not thanked Allah. In keeping with that hadith, we want to thank the administration here at this masjid for allowing us to come. Because what we're trying to do now is we're trying to break down the walls and the barriers that the Muslims have allowed to be erected that keep us divided amongst ourselves. Especially at a time when we're the last group of people who can afford to be divided amongst ourselves. So those language barriers, those cultural barriers, the barriers of the madhahib and the imams that we follow, the Muslims have to rise to the occasion and the challenge of trying to unite themselves and expose themselves to other people who may have information that is going to be beneficial to us. We would like to also thank and acknowledge the efforts of those brothers who were responsible for organizing this particular reminder. We ask Allah Jalla in this blessed month to put their efforts in the mizan of Hasanat Yomul Qiyamah. I want to give myself a reminder and give all of you a reminder as well about a critical issue, an important issue, something that is extremely practical that you can begin to do today. We should have been doing it all a while, all along. But the shaitan, who is our open and our avowed enemy, many times he makes us become neglectful about simple things that if we were to do them, we can get a lot of the problems solved in our lives. And that is, I want to talk to you brothers here, inshallah, and the sisters, about the importance of ad-du'a. This ummah right now, and every single individual who is sitting here right now, we're being faced with some issues. We're being faced with and we're dealing with issues, challenges, that no one here has the ability to solve his problem except with the help of Allah. And despite that fact, you will find the person, he doesn't make dua to Allah, even though the dua is the weapon that Allah has equipped every Muslim with. The weapons of the so-called superpowers, they pale in comparison to the weapon of a dua, because the weapon of the superpower, atomic bombs and other than that, high-tech jets and other than that, they cannot be effective if the Lord of all the worlds doesn't want it to be effective. So if a person is utilizing the dua, he's going to empower himself to solve a lot of his problems. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said about the dua, "Ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah." Dua in and of itself, it is ibadah, it is worship. And then he read an ayah from the Quran, in which Allah called the dua ibadah. After telling the people, "Ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah," dua is ibadah, he read the ayah in which Allah said, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ أَدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ الدَّاخِرِينَ. And your Lord has said to all of you, call on me and I will answer your call. Verily those people who are arrogant as it relates to my ibadah, meaning dua. Those people who are arrogant as it relates to my ibadah, my dua, they will enter into the hellfire and they will be low. So, ikhwani, In the religion of Al-Islam, we have a Lord who has created us, and He created us so that we may worship Him. And He told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about Allah Azza wa Jal, مَنْ لَمْ يَدُعُ اللَّهِ يَغْضَبُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. Whoever doesn't make dua to Allah, Allah becomes angry and is angry with that individual. And that's for two reasons. Why does Allah become angry with the one who doesn't make dua? The first reason is because the one who doesn't make dua to Allah is a sign of kibr. He feels and he sees himself as being self-sufficient. So whenever there's a problem that's going on, he wants to solve his problem using his resources, his money, his jah, the people he knows, his intellect. Instead of turning to Allah, he wants to solve the problem with his mind and his resources. So he sees himself as being self-sufficient. And that's not acceptable, because Allah, from His name, is that He is mutakabbir. And anyone who has an iota of kibr in his heart, he won't enter into Jannah, as Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu narrated in the hadith as in Sahih Muslim. The Prophet told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, من كان لا يدخل الجنة من كان في قلبه مثقال ذرة من كبر. The one who has a speck of kibr in his heart won't enter into Jannah. Haram. Only Allah has the right to be mutakabbir. So some of the Muslims, unfortunately, they look at this man and they say, because he doesn't have a degree, I'm better than him. He looks at this one, he doesn't allow his daughter to marry this one. He doesn't allow this one. All of this kibr that we have amongst ourselves, and then we have the nerve to turn around and to say the Jews. No. The Muslims are their own worst enemy with the arrogance that we have amongst ourselves. So Allah becomes angry with the one who doesn't make dua. And why wouldn't he make dua? As I mentioned, most of you, I don't know. But I can guarantee you there's not a single person sitting here except that he has an issue or issues that he needs Allah's help. The mother is sick. He's looking to get married. He's on the brink of getting a divorce. He doesn't have money. His child is going astray. There's not a person here except that he needs the help of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And yet, he doesn't make dua. مَنْ لَمْ يَدُعُ اللَّهِ يَغْضَبُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. Whoever doesn't make dua to Allah, Allah is angry. Because he may be mutakabbir. A second reason why a person doesn't make dua to Allah and Allah becomes angry as a result of that is because the person is ignorant. The person is ghafil. He's not paying attention. And Allah doesn't love the mutaghafilin. He doesn't like the ones who are ignorant. He doesn't like the ones who are not paying attention. They're sleeping. Each day is passing, and death is becoming an issue that's a reality. He has gray in his beard. His hair is gray. That's an indication that he's close to his qabr. And yet, he's not cognizant about why he should be making dua. So whoever doesn't make dua, Allah is angry with that individual. So I've come here today, inshallah, to remind you brothers and your sisters and myself about the importance of a dua. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as Allah described him in the Quran, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرُجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. You people have in the Messenger of Allah a perfect example for the one who hopes to meet Allah and he believes in the last day. So if you want to be a doctor, you have in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam a perfect example. You want to be a businessman, you have in him a perfect example. You want to be a husband, you have in him a perfect example. You want to be a student of knowledge, you have in him a perfect example. You want to be the imam, you have in him a perfect example. You want to be a wife, you have in him a perfect example. You have a perfect example in him in everything. So when we look at his life, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we find from the time he woke up in the morning to the time he put his head back down on the pillow, his life was filled with dua, 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 dua. Waking up, dua. Putting on his clothes, dua. Going out the house, dua. Going into the masjid, dua. Going into the bathroom, dua. Dua, dua, dua. Take the average Muslim and tell him, what's the dua of waking up? He doesn't know. What's the dua of putting on your clothes? He doesn't know. What's the dua of eating? He doesn't know. You want to protect your child? Before having relationships with your wife, akramakum Allah, there is a dua that if the person says it, his child will be divinely protected from Allah. During this day, the spread of mental illnesses is on the rampage. Serious mental illnesses to minor. Schizophrenia, anxiety, depression. There is a dua that if a person suffers from depression and anxiety, if he says this dua, it'll take away his oppression, his depression and anxiety. But the Muslim doesn't make the dua. And then we claim we love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in fact, we do love Rasulullah. I'm sure of that. We do love him. But as Allah mentioned in the Quran, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِئُونِي يُحْبِرُكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذَنُوبَكُمْ. If you people truly love Allah, then follow me. Allah will love you and He will forgive you for your sins. So loving Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is manifested in the way we behave and the way we act. When the sunnah comes to you, especially amongst our elders who we respect, when the sunnah comes to you and is different from what you grew up thinking was correct, are you an individual who repels the sunnah and you're against the sunnah? When the hadith comes to you from the authentic sunnah, are you an individual who says, but my culture, we don't do that. But my imam, he says something else. They asked our imam, al-imam al-Nu'man ibn Thabit, Abu Hanifa rahimahullahu ta'ala. Ya imam, what's your manhaj? What is your manhaj? He said, إِذَا صَحَّ الْحَدِيثِ فَهُوَ مَذْهَبِي. If the hadith is authentic, then that's my manhaj. So loving Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is manifested in spreading his sunnah, defending his sunnah, practicing his sunnah. When his sunnah comes, we throw everything else out the window and we establish what Rasulullah brought sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So ikhwani, brothers and sisters, learn those dua that if you were to say them, the dua of eating. Alhamdulillah alladhi at'amani hadha at'am wa razaqanihi min ghayri hawlin minni wala quwwa. Whoever says that dua, qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi. He will be forgiven for what went past from his sin. One of us doesn't even say bismillah before we eat. And that's how most of the dua are. They're easy to memorize, they're easy to say, and the reward that comes as a result of them are tremendous. So in talking about the dua, the importance of dua, and the etiquette of a dua, and reminding myself and you all, I want to deal with this issue by dealing with one of the surahs of the Quran. And this way, inshallah, we can hit two birds with one stone. In the month of Ramadan, the month of barakah. We want to talk about the importance of dua and the etiquette of a dua as a result of what is mentioned in Surah Al-Fatiha. Surah Al-Fatiha. That surah that we read every single day. And yet if you were to ask the average Muslim, Allah says in Surah Al-Fatiha, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Both of those names of Allah comes from the word Rahmah. But what is the difference between Allah's name Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim? Ask the average Muslim, he doesn't really know the difference, even though he says it every day. Ar-Rahman means that Allah is most merciful to all of His creation. He's merciful to the jinn, to the malaika, to the insects, to the animals, to the kafir, to the Muslim, the man, the woman, the Arab, non-Arab, the thankful, the religious, the irreligious, the scholar, the ignorant. He is Ar-Rahman. He gives us the indiscriminate wind. He gives us water. He gives us food, provides all of these things for everybody. Ar-Rahim, He is most merciful only to the believers, Yawm al-Qiyamah. He will not have any rahmah for the person who died making shirk, no matter who they are. No matter how close they were to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or to Ibrahim, He won't have any rahmah. His cousin Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu asked him, Ya Rasulullah, your uncle, Abu Talib, he used to protect you in your religion. What did you do for him in retribution of him protecting you in the religion? Rasulullah said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because of me, a pair of shoes will be made for him in the hellfire. He will be caused to put his feet in those shoes, and from the severe blazing torment of the shoes, his brain is going to bubble. And that's his recompense until the end of time, forever and ever, and that's the least amount of the punishment of the hellfire, because he died on a shirk. So Allah will not have any rahmah for a non-Muslim after Yawm al-Qiyam. So that's the meaning of Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. In Surah Al-Fatiha are a number of treasures, ikhwani, that I want to bring to your attention. From them, it shows us the etiquette of a dua, how to make dua. Why did I choose Surah Al-Fatiha? First of all, there's an authentic hadith that was collected by Imam al-Bukhari on the authority of Abu Sa'id al-Mu'alla radiallahu anhu. Rasulullah came into his masjid sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he saw that companion and he said, أَلَا أُعَلِّمُكَ أَعْظَمْ سُورَةٍ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ قَبْلٍ تَخْرُجَ مِنَ الْمَسْجِدِ Shall I not teach you the greatest surah of the Qur'an before you leave the masjid? That man said, yes, Ya Rasulullah. So Rasulullah left the man and he became preoccupied and he was doing things. When it was time for him to leave the masjid, he began to leave and exit the masjid. That man, Abu Sa'id al-Mu'alla, grabbed him by his arm and said, Ya Rasulullah, do you remember you told me before you would leave the masjid, you were going to teach me the greatest surah of the Qur'an? Which is an indication and a proof that the companions, they were interested and concerned about learning their religion. He wants to know, not like the Muslims today. Our religion today is a religion where if an issue comes, I'll go and I'll ask the Maldi Sahib. If an issue comes, I'll go and I'll ask the Imam, or the Musti, or the Qadi. As for me sitting learning my religion, nah, when the time comes and an issue presents itself, that's when I'll deal with it. The Prophet described the Muslim. Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, طلب العلم فريدة على كل مسلم.
Hello, whoever's got an NREG Jeep, can you move it because brother's blocked in? And whoever else is blocked, anyone else in or parked in a silly position, can you please correct it because we don't want to stop the shake again. Okay, so.
Ikhwani, so the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed all of us, searching for knowledge is an obligation upon every single Muslim. Whether you can read and write, or whether you are illiterate, you have to come to learn about your religion. مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَكَّهُ فِي الدِّينِ If Allah wants good for an individual, He teaches him the religion. So everyone in the masjid, our daughters, our wives, our sons, ourselves, we have a religious obligation to learn this deen. Doesn't mean you have to become a scholar, but it does mean that you have to learn the basics of the deen to be able to worship Allah. People don't know the ahkam of al-jum'ah. The man is given the khutbah, the imam, and you'll find him downstairs on the side having a discussion with someone while the imam is giving the khutbah, because he doesn't know the ahkam of al-jum'ah. He gets married the wrong way. He gets divorced the wrong way. She doesn't wear hijab because she was never taught what the hijab is. She thinks that the hijab is what the women wear in her culture. She's not necessarily a bad lady or a bad girl. She was never sat down and explained what the hijab in al-Islam is supposed to be like. So getting knowledge is an obligation. So that companion, he could have let Rasulullah accept the message, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but he stopped him. Rasulullah said to that man, salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Hiya Sab'ul Mathani wal Quran al Azim alladhi utituhu. The greatest surah of the Quran is Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Surah Al Fatiha. It is the seven oft repeated verses that I have been given and the great Quran. Since the Surah Al Fatiha is the greatest surah of the Quran, it's worth our time and our effort to read about the tafsir of Surah Al Fatiha. Today, we just completed Salat al Dhuhr. You did not read a surah today more than you read Surah Al Fatiha. Because it's the seven oft repeated verses that you're going to read every day at least 17 times a day in every rak'ah. It is the surah that Rasulullah told sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be read in the Salat of Al-Janazah. It is the surah that he described as Al-Ruqya. Listen to this, ikhwani. Al-Ruqya. Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, a Muslim, collected on the authority of Abu Sa'id Al-Khudri, radiyallahu anhu. The companions went out on a trip. Abu Sa'id Al-Khudri was the Amir, and they were 30 people all together. They came to a group of non-Muslims in the desert. They stopped and they asked those non-Muslims, would you people give us some hospitality as we're traveling and all we want to do is have a place to rest and eat? Those people, they said, no, we're not giving you any hospitality. You're with Muhammad. You people change your religion. We're not going to fight you, but we're not going to help you either. So the companions got up and they proceeded. Allah decreed that a snake or a scorpion bit the leader of those people, a poisonous snake, a scorpion. So the man was dying. The people were in dire straits. They said, go to those people from Al-Madinah and ask them, do they have any herbs, any medicine to help our leader? They caught up to the companions. They told them what happened. Abu Sa'id Al-Khudri said, yes, I have something. I have something that will cure him, inshallah. But I'll only administer the medicine if you people agree that you'll give us 30 sheep if he becomes cured. They said, okay, we agree. Dire straits. Abu Sa'id Al-Khudri went back. He stood over the Amir, who was laying down dying, and he read, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Maliki Yawm al-Din. Seven times. After the seventh time, he spit on the man. After that, the man got up and he started walking around as if he was okay. The Arabs gave them the 30 sheep. The companion said, give me my sheep. Everyone wants a sheep. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri said, no. Not until we get to Medina and we ask Rasulullah about the permissibility of what we did. All of the companions obeyed the Amir. They didn't say, yeah, but I want my sheep. I'm hungry. Give me my sheep. They obeyed the Amir. The Amir didn't do anything without asking Rasulullah, refer the issue back to Rasulullah. They went to Medina, they told him what happened. Rasulullah started smiling. He said to Abu Sa'id Al-Khudri after hearing the story, وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ إِنَّهَا رُقْيَا أُدْرِبُوا لِي مَعَكُمْ سَهْمًا. How did you know, Ya Abu Sa'id Al-Khudri, that Surah Al-Fatiha is a ruqya? Give me a part of the meat with you. The fact that he asked for part of the meat goes to show the permissibility of what they did. Give me some of the meat of what you people took from those people. So the point is, Surah Al-Fatiha, ikhwani, is a ruqya. So why don't we read Surah Al-Fatiha on our sick? The man was bitten by a snake or a scorpion. The man has a headache. He doesn't read Surah Al-Fatiha. He takes aspirin. The man has cancer. He has some other disease, arthritis, rheumatism, some other issue. We rely on other resources. Go to the doctor, go to the hospital, spend money. And there's nothing wrong with that. But why not read Surah Al-Fatiha? During that time of the month, akramakum Allah, the woman experienced severe cramps in her stomach. Read Surah Al-Fatiha. What do the Muslims do? We go to the mirsab, the pirsab, the hocus pocus man. He writes some words on a piece of paper, and then we tie it around our arm, tie it around our neck. He burns it into ashes. We smash up the ashes and we drink it. We put it in our yogurt, we put it in our food, and we eat it and we drink it. Just do what Abu Sa'id al-Khudri did. Allah mentioned in the Quran, about the Quran, وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ الشِّفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. We have revealed in this Quran what is a shifa and a rahma for those who believe. So Surah Al-Fatiha, ikhwani, it is the ruqya. The last thing that I want to mention, and a lot of things should be mentioned about Surah Al-Fatiha, is that if we're going to learn about the etiquette of a dua and the importance of a dua, then Surah Al-Fatiha is a dua. And the proof that it's a dua, when you read غَيْرَ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الظَّالِينَ, you say Ameen, which is an indication it's a dua. So inside of the surah are a number of etiquette. We'll try to deal with 4 or 5 of them here today. The number one most important etiquette of dua that comes to us from Surah Al-Fatiha, the number one most important etiquette is that when you make dua, you make dua only to Allah. You don't make dua to a dead man in the grave. You don't make dua to the malaika, no matter how powerful they are. You don't make dua to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah. You don't make dua to Ali ibn Abi Talib. There are Muslims who make dua to Ali. Ya Ali al-Madid al-Madid. You have to make dua to Allah and Allah alone. Where does that come from? Surah Al-Fatiha comes from Allah's statement, Iyaka na'bud wa iyaka nasta'in. You are the one who we worship, and you are the one who we seek your help. Al-Isti'ana. Look what happened with Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah. Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi collected this hadith, and many of you know the hadith because it's in the 40 hadith of Al-Imam al-Nawawi. One day Rasulullah was riding on his animal, and behind him was Abdullah ibn Abbas, a young man. And that goes to show the humility of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was a humble man. He's the Habib of Allah. He's the Khalil of Allah. He is the Khatam of the Anbiya and the Rasul. He has the best part of Al-Jannah. He has the Maqam al-Mahmood in Al-Jannah. And yet, he would allow a young boy to ride with him close. Not like some of our elders and some of us. The young man has nothing to say. Look, we don't even want your opinion. We'll marry you to who we want to marry you to, and we'll order you to get divorced from the one we want you to get divorced from. So Allah wasn't like that. He comes around and he said to the little boy, Ya Ghulam, Inni u'allimuka kalimat. Ihfadillah yahfadak. Ihfadillah tajiduhu amanak. Wa idha sa'alta fas'alillah. Wa idha sta'anta fasta'in billah. Hey little boy, I'm going to teach you some words. Remember Allah and Allah will remember you. Remember Allah and you'll find Allah in front of you. Remember Allah in the good times while you have good health. When you become old and infirm, inshallah, Allah will remember you. Remember Allah when you have some money by giving sadaqah fi sabilillah. When you need money, Allah is going to be there for you. Remember Allah and you'll find Him in front of you. Practice the deen. Make salat al-fajr on time and the rest of the prayers and fajr and jummah and other than that. Because when you are in need, Allah will be there in front of you, waiting for you to give you His reward, His protection. But what do? We forget Allah when we have good health. We forget Allah when we're young. We forget Allah when we have money. And as soon as the musibah comes, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. And Allah won't be there at that time for you. Remember Allah, Allah will remember you. Remember Allah, you'll find Him in front of you. And if you ask, ask of Allah. And if you seek the assistance or the help, al-isti'ana, وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. If you seek help, seek help of Allah. That's the meaning, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدْ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Make dua to Allah and Allah only. Don't make dua to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam. Throughout the Quran, this message comes across. As Allah mentioned in the Quran, أَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. The messages are for Allah. So do not call on anyone else. Do not make dua to anyone else other than Allah. There are masajid in Pakistan, Kashmir, Bangladesh, Afghanistan, in Africa. In the Muslim world, Arab world, there are masjids where there's dead people buried inside of the masjid. People make dua to them. People pray to them. And then we have the nerve to turn around and say, the Yahud, the Yahud. The masajid are for Allah. وَمَنْ كَانَ فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. Whoever was planning on meeting Allah, then only worship Allah and call on Him alone, and don't make any partners with Allah Azza wa Jal. Ayat, too many ayat. قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَدْعُ رَبِّي وَلَا أُشْرِكُ بِي شَيْئًا. Tell them, Ya Muhammad, I only make dua to my Lord, and I don't make shirk with Him with anyone else. And look at this, ikhwani. We're living in England. We're professional. We're educated. Not like some of our great-great-great-grandfathers, many of which were illiterate. So they believed in that hocus-pocus Islam, those strange things that intelligent people should not believe in. But even though we are educated, the person will still take a black ribbon and tie it on his car exhaust system, believing the ribbon will protect him from an accident or the evil eye. A Muslim will take a rabbit's foot, and tie it on his car, the window there, the rear view window, and he believes that the rabbit foot will bring him good luck. If the rabbit was so lucky, his foot wouldn't be there. He would still be running around somewhere. How do Muslims believe in such nonsense? We are educated people. How do we call on other than the Lord of all the worlds? Throughout the Quran, the ayat say, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ أَنِ الشَّهْرِ الْحَرَامِ. They ask you about the sacred months. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ مَاذَا يُنْفِقُونَ. They ask you, what should they spend? وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ أَنِ الْمَحِيضِ. They ask you about the women's menses. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ أَنَ الْأَهِلَّةِ. They ask you about the new moons. They used to ask Rasulullah about these things. So in all of these ayat, Allah would say to Rasulullah, قُلْ. Tell them this, tell them that. Every ayat, they ask you about this, they ask you about that. Allah would say, tell them this, tell them that. But when it came to the issue of dua, Allah said in the Quran, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي أَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي. If my servants ask you about me, Ya Muhammad, Allah didn't say, قُلْ, like He said in all the other ayahs. If my servants ask you about me, He said, verily I'm close. Meaning what? We don't need Rasulullah now to tell us anything. There's no middleman. Verily I'm close. I answer the dua of the one who calls me. You don't need any middleman. You don't need Rasulullah or anyone else. You go directly to Allah. The companions were traveling. From the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is if he went up a hill, he would say subhanallah. And if he went down a hill, he would say Allahu Akbar. That's his sunnah. You go on the elevator, you go up, subhanallah. You start to descend, decline, Allahu Akbar. So the companions were saying out loud, Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah, screaming. Rasulullah told those people, Irba'u ala anfusikum, fa'innakum la tad'una ba'ida, wa la sam, tad'una qariban, as-sami. You people, have mercy upon yourselves. Lower your voice. Save your energy. You are not calling on one who is far, far away. Nor are you calling on one who is deaf. You're calling on one who is close to you and he hears everything. You don't need a middleman. How is the educated person, intelligent person going to call on a middleman with all of those ayats of the Quran that go to show that the little man can't help you, no matter who he is. Allah mentioned in the Quran, وَإِن تَدْعُوهُمْ لَا يَسْمَعُوا دُعَاءَكُمْ وَلَوْ سَمِعُوا مَسْتَجَابُوا لَكُمْ. If you call on them and you make dua to them, they can't hear your dua because they're dead, because they're far away. They can't hear it. And even if they could hear it, they can't help you. He may be in the next room, he may be right here. I'm making dua to the sheikh of the tarifa. Oh sheikh, help me, help. He can help you, even if he can hear it. In Surah Al-Hajj, Allah mentioned, Ya ayyuhal nas, duriba mathalun fastami'u lahu. Inna alladhina tad'una min dunillahi, lan yakhluqa dhubaba, walau ijtama'u lahu. وَإِنْ يَسْلَبْكُمُ الذُّبَابُ شَيْئًا لَا يَسْتَنْقِذُوا مِنْهُ دَعْفَ الطَّالِبُ وَالْمَطْلُوبُ. O mankind, a similitude has been given to you, so listen to this similitude from your Lord. Those people who you call on other than Allah, they cannot create a single fly. And if they all came together to create the single fly, never will they be able to do it. The fly is weak, and the ones who are calling, doing the calling, are all weak. So you bring Isa, Muhammad, all of the Anbiya, all of the Malaika, all of the Awliya of Allah, all of the fake Awliya of Allah, bring all of the people together. They can't create a fly. So why make dua to them? The second etiquette, Ikhwani, that comes second in importance as well, is the etiquette of following Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions in their dua. People have made up their own dua and they made up their own dhikr. And intelligent, educated, professional people follow them in this. Huwa, 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 Allah, 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 Allah. Did Rasulullah teach that? Did Rasulullah bring that way of making a dhikr? Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Did Rasulullah bring that? Did Rasulullah's companions show us that? Some people will get upset and they will say, look at the color of the speaker. How he has the nerve to say what he's saying. Don't become upset. I say to you and I challenge you, bring the proof of that so that we can practice it. Don't be like my mother and my father who were Christians, who used to tell us, Isa is the son of Allah. And if we were to die believing that, we would be in the hellfire. They don't have any proof of that. But that's what they believe. We have to be a group of people who can prove what we believe and our ibadat from the Quran. Whoever hears his name, kisses his thumb, and puts it to his eyes will never become blind. Kevin, where is that at? So your dua has to be in accordance to the sunnah, because he's the best example. Where does that come from, Surah Al-Fatiha? It comes from our dua, Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, Sirat al-Ladina an'amta alayhi. Guide us to the Sirat al-Mustaqim, the Sirat of those people you gave your ni'mah to, an'amta alayhim. And who are they? They are the Prophet and his companions. How do we know that? The Quran explains the Quran. Someone takes the Quran, he reads, فَوَيْلُ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ. Woe unto those who pray. So he says, I'm not praying because Allah said, woe unto those who pray. Close the book, say, I'm not praying. طَاهَا وَمَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ مَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنِ. And he stops. طَاهَا, we did not reveal to you the Quran. And he stops. He says the Quran is not from Allah. It wasn't revealed. No, you have to read the ayats that come after it, the ayats that go before it, the ayats that are mentioned in other parts of the Quran. صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْأَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ. The صِرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, according to the Quran, is the way of Rasulullah. Guide us to the Sirat al-Mustaqim, to the way of Rasulullah, the path of Rasulullah. and the path of his companion. We know that from Surah An-Nisa, ayah number 56. Allah said in Surah An-Nisa, وَمَنْ يُتِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَا الَّذِينَ أَنْأَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَصِدِّقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. Whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, then they will be with those who Allah has blessed from the Nabiyeen, Rasulullah and his brothers, and the Siddiqeen, Abu Bakr is from the Siddiqeen, and the Shuhada, Umar, Uthman, Ali, and the Salihin, and the rest of the companions, radiallahu anhu. And what a good fraternity they are. So when we make dua, which is ibadah, like all other forms of ibadah, we have to follow the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So my question to this community now is, after the salawat al-khamsa, when we finish praying, Rasulullah taught us a series of dua. Subhanallah, 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 alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah, wahdu la sharika la lahu mulku lahu amyuhi wa yumeet, Allahumma anta as-salam, minka as-salam. He taught us a series of dua that he used to say, him and his companions. Did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ask the salawat al-khamsa? Did he start making dua in congregation and the people made a dua with him in congregation? He didn't do it. He didn't do it. If you want your dua to be accepted, then make dua the way he did, in the place that he did, the way that he did, the amount of times that he did. What is so difficult about that for this ummah? I tell you what it is. It's what he said was going to happen. لَتَتَّبِعُنَّ سُنَنَ مِنْ كَانَ قَبْلُكُمْ شِبْرًا بِشِبْرٍ وَذَرَاءً بِذَرَاءٍ. You people, this ummah, you're going to follow the ways of the people went before you. A handspan by handspan, an arm span by an arm span, to the point if they go into the lizard's hole, you are going to follow them into the lizard's hole. Meaning the Yahud and the Nasara. They worshipped Isa ibn Maryam. They worshipped Uzair. They took their scholars, and they took the words of the scholars, and they left what was revealed to their Anbiya and their Rasul. Their women became in control, and they got out of hand. They innovated in their religion. Everything that they do is going to happen to this Muslim, this community, this ummah. So the second etiquette, make dua according to his sunnah. You can't do that if you don't learn the sunnah. Number three, Ikhwani, I'm going to speed through now. From the etiquette of a dua, and everything that I mentioned now is secondary. It's lesser in importance and degree than the first two. Dua to Allah and dua according to the sunnah. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. The tawheed of Allah and the tawheed of following Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The imam, the elders, my mother, my father, the leaders of this government, American government, the professor, the intelligent one, whenever they say something that goes against the Quran and the Sunnah, I say, La ilaha illallah. Allah deserves to be worshipped and obeyed. And only Rasulullah alone deserves to be followed and obeyed unconditionally. Everyone else is conditional. Number three. From the etiquette of a dua, Ikhwani, pay attention to this, is that you have to make al-ilhah. Al-ilhah. Al-ilhah means to be perpetual and consistent in making the dua, and to make a dua as if you're miskeen, da'if, muhtaj, and to keep doing it and not to give up and not to let it go. Allah said in the Quran, and ordering the community, ادعوا ربكم تضرعا وخفية إنه لا يحب المعتدين. Call on your Lord تضرعا, lowly, weak, in need, and call on him in secret, خفية, not in front of the people, make your riya so that the people see you. The dua after the salat, the imam is making dua, you don't know what he's saying, Because usually they're not saying it out loud, and the people are just doing all kinds of things because it's just what we're doing. Do it secretly between you and Allah, not in front of the people. And don't go overboard, because Allah doesn't love those who go overboard. Al-ilhah. Where does that come from in Surah Al-Fatiha? It comes from the fact that Rasulullah described Surah Al-Fatiha sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the 7 oft repeated verses. It's a dua, and you say it over and over every single day. Throughout your life, you've been making this dua every day, which is a sign. Whatever other dua you have to make, you need to make, don't make a dua and then give up from making that dua. Your mother is sick, the doctor says she has 3 months to live, and then you stop making dua. You have to continue to make dua until the last second. I want to get married, I've been making dua, I have this fitna, I'm young, I have this shahwa, I want to get married, fitna to nisa, but Allah didn't make it happen yet. So I'm not going to give dua anymore, I'm just going to start looking. The girl is married to an oppressive husband. He's oppressive. She's under the oppression of her father. Make her get married to someone who's going to be a fitna for her in the deen. And he's only doing it because of what the people say, the culture. He'll destroy the happiness of his daughter because of the culture. She doesn't see any way out. It's something that's going to happen. So she gives up dua. The 7 oft repeated verses. You have to make it again and again and again. And don't go overboard. Don't be oppressive. The Prophet told us, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, لا يزال يستجاب للعبد ما لم يدعو بإثم أو قطيعة الرحم وما لم يستعجل. قيل يا رسول الله كيف يستعجل؟ قال يقول قد دعوت وقد دعوت فلم يستجاب لي فيستحسر عند ذلك فيترك الدعاء. Listen to this hadith. The servant's dua will not cease to be accepted by Allah as long as he continues to call on Allah, as long as he doesn't ask for something that's haram. Oh Allah, I ask you to help me to win the lottery. It's 100 million pounds. I'll build a masjid with 10 million and the rest I'll give some. La, can't make dua for that. Oh Allah, I ask you with your name to curse my mother, to destroy my wife's family. Can't make dua for something like that. Oh Allah, they threw me out of that masjid over there. I ask you to burn it down. Can't make that kind of dua. He will accept your dua as long as you don't ask for something haram, and as long as you don't break off the ties of relationship. Katiyat al-Rahm. Maybe we'll come back another day to talk about that, because that's important. And the third thing, and this is the point for Shahid, and as long as he doesn't find himself in haste, he doesn't rush. The companions say, Ya Rasulullah, how does the man rush in dua? He said, the man rushes in dua by saying, I made dua, and I made dua, and I made dua, and Allah didn't answer my dua, so he gives up hope, and he abandons the dua. He has to continue to make dua. You are calling on As-Sami' Al-Basir, the one who hears and sees. Al-Qareeb وَلَيْسَ بِبَعِيدٍ. He's close. وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. We are closer to you than your own jugular vein. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the authentic hadith has been collected by Imam al-Bukhari on the authority of Al-Ubad ibn Samit radiallahu anhu. مَنْ دَعَى ما دعا العبد ربه He said صلى الله عليه وسلم من سأل الله تعالى الجنة 3 مرات قالت الجنة اللهم ادخل الجنة ومن استجار من الله ومن استجار من النار 3 مرات قالت النار اللهم أَجِرْهُ مِنَ النَّارِ. Anyone who makes dua to Allah and he asks Allah three times, oh Allah give me Jannah, oh Allah give me Jannah, oh Allah give me Jannah. The Jannah says, oh Allah put him inside of the Jannah. The person who says, oh Allah save me from the hellfire, oh Allah save me from the hell, oh Allah save me from the hell. The hellfire says, oh Allah save him from the hellfire. To make dua more and more. And this was his sunnah. He would have a problem with Quraysh, he would say, oh Allahumma alayki bi Quraysh. Allahumma alayki bi Quraysh. Allahumma alayki bi Quraysh. Oh Allah deal with Quraysh. Oh Allah deal with Quraysh. Oh Allah deal with Quraysh. So you have to continually make dua and make the dua over and over and over and over again. And don't give up. Don't give up hope. Lastly, ikhwani, from the mini etiquette. Another etiquette. Ah, but before that, he said, in the ayat, and don't go overboard, because Allah doesn't love those who go overboard. He told us that there will be a group of people who will come and they will go overboard in dua. One of the companions saw his son, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, saw his son making dua. And the boy said, oh Allah, I ask for you for a white castle on the right side of Jannah with this many rooms in it. The father heard him. He said, hey, Rasulullah said there are a group of people going to go overboard in dua. Don't say that. Just ask Allah for Jannah al Firdaus. That's all. And it'll include all everything you need. Don't be so specific like that. That's one way of going overboard. Another way of going overboard, ikhwani, is, as I mentioned, to make dua against your mother, your father, the ulama, against Islam, things like that. Another way of going overboard is to abandon the dua altogether. Another way of going overboard is for an individual to follow in his dua a path other than Abu Qasim al-Mustafa al-Amin, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So don't go overboard in dua. The last point from the etiquette of a dua that many people forget about. And that is, when you make dua, you should make dua for the congregation. Don't make dua just for yourself. Oh Allah, I need this. Oh Allah, I need that. Give me this, give me that. Make dua for the congregation that comes. Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. Guide all of us to the Sirat al-Mustaqim. Allah could have revealed to Rasulullah, Ihdini Sirat al-Mustaqim. Easy. Guide me to the Sirat al-Mustaqim. When you pray the Salat by yourself, those of you who can't come to Salat al-Fajr, because you're far away. So you pray any prayer by yourself, at home, at work. You're making dua, Surah Al-Fatiha. Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. You're asking for yourself, you're asking for your family who are not there, you're asking for the Muslims who are not there. I say, Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. I'm asking Allah, guide my mother and my father who are kuffar to the Sirat al-Mustaqim. So that etiquette shows you should make dua for the congregation and not always by yourself. Allah commanded Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah said in the Quran, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. Know, ya Muhammad, that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah. He told Rasulullah that. وَلَقَدْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ وَإِلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ لَإِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ. It was revealed to you, Ya Muhammad, and all of the prophets before you, that if you make shirk, it's going to render your deeds null and void. That's Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What about you and me? So the first ayah, know, Ya Muhammad, that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah, and seek the forgiveness of Allah for your sins, and seek the forgiveness for the believing men and the believing women. That's what Allah commanded Rasulullah in the Quran. So when you read the Quran, the vast majority of dua in the Quran are in the plural. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةٍ وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةٍ وَقِنَا عَذَابِ النَّارِ. Give us the good in this life. Give us the good in the next life. Save us from the hellfire and its punishment. رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَخِذْنَا إِن نَسِينَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا. O our Lord, forgive us if we forget, if we make mistakes. Most of the dua are like that. رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا سَمِعْنَا مُنَادٍ يُنَادِ لِلْإِيمَانَ أَنْ آمِنُوا بِرَبِّكُمْ فَآمَنَّا. Most of the dua are like that. That's a sign that you should also make dua for the Muslim. Allah described the believers in the Quran in Surah Al-Hashr. Pay attention to this, ikhwani. Due to our lack of knowledge, we don't know who to love and we don't know who to hate. We love people and support people who are enemies to this religion, thinking that they're okay. In Surah Al-Hashr, Allah makes this point clear when He describes the companions, radiallahu anhum, and then He describes the people who came after the companions, you and I. He said in Surah Al-Hashr, وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِن بَعْدِهِمْ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. In the previous ayat, Allah described the Muhajirin. Then He described the Ansar. And then He said, and those people came after them. They make a dua and they say, O our Lord, forgive us and forgive our brothers who preceded us in faith, and do not put any hatred in our hearts for them. Verily you are Ra'uf, you are Rahim. So point number one, we make dua for ourselves and for the companions as well. O our Lord, forgive us and our brothers who preceded us in Iman. And this also can mean some of you elderly people who are here, our elders. I want to spread Islam. You may not see things the same way that I see them. I shouldn't, as a younger man, I shouldn't disrespect you and be rough and tough. I have to make dua and ask Allah, don't put any hatred in my heart for those who preceded me in Al-Islam. But does that mean you're going to treat me like an abd? Does that mean because I'm a revert and I'm after you that the haq is only with you? Doesn't mean that. But as someone who came after you, I have to respect you. You younger brothers, you have to respect the elders. That's the description that Allah gave in the Quran. And those who came after them, they make dua, O our Lord, forgive us and forgive those who preceded us in Iman. And don't put any ghil, any enmity, hatred, rancor in our hearts against those who believe. Those people who curse the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are they practicing this ayah? Allah described the Ansar and the Muhajirin. Then He described those who came after them and they make dua for the Ansar and Muhajirin. Someone comes now and he says, instead of making dua for Abu Bakr and Umar, he says Abu Bakr and Umar were homosexuals. Abu Bakr and Umar were kuffar. Aisha radiallahu anha, when Rasulullah used to go out the front door to make jihad, Aisha will open up the back door and there were a line of Jews ready to have zina with her, one after another. Is this ayat describing those people? Jibril was supposed to bring the Quran and he was supposed to give it to Ali, but he chose to give it to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All of the companions became kuffar after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except five or six of them. Is this ayat describing those people? La wallahi. Like it who like it, hate it who hate it. You can like what I say, you can hate what I say, it doesn't make a difference. If you are against the companions of Rasulullah, you are zalim, kafir. This is the month of Ramadan. Shahr Ramadan الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. That Quran that we have, Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhu were responsible by Allah's permission to bring it together the way it is right now. This Salat al-Tarawih, Umar radiallahu anhu, help this Tarawih to be established right now. How are you going to be a Muslim having a problem with those companions? You are an enemy to Al-Islam. How are the Muslims going to actually think that Hezbollah of Lebanon are the Hizb of Allah? Hassan Nasrallah curses the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But because we have a lack of knowledge, He fights the Jews, and even though he's not beating the Jews, but someone's fighting them. But we're so far off the mark that the Muslims believe that that man is okay and Hezbollah is okay. How would you feel, akhi, if someone came and said that your mother who gave birth to you was a zaniya? He said that your wife is a zaniya. Your daughter is a zaniya. Well, that's what they say about our mother, Aisha radiallahu anha. Al-Muhim, that ayat described the believers as being a group of people who make dua for each other. The last thing that I want to mention about this, ikhwani, the importance of making dua for all of the Muslims. The Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, من استغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات كتب الله له بكل مؤمن ومؤمنة حسنة. Whoever asks Allah to forgive all of the Muslim men and the Muslim women, Allah will write for him a hasana for every single Muslim man and every single Muslim woman who ever lived. How many people have been created from the time of Adam until this very moment from those who believe? How many? How many? Billion? Quadrillion? Oh Allah, have mercy upon me and have mercy upon all of the Muslims. Oh Allah, forgive me and forgive all of the Muslims. Oh Allah, help me and help all of the Muslims. Every time he makes that kind of dua, there's a hasana for every single believer that ever lived, ever. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Don't be of the people who, oh Allah, give me this, oh Allah, give me that, oh Allah, give me this. That's okay. But don't forget your family. Don't forget the Muslims. There was another man who Rasulullah saw him making dua, and the man raised his hand and just started making dua. Rasulullah said, you have oppressed. He said, why, Ya Rasulullah? He said, because you went straight into the dua by just asking for yourself. He said, if one of you wants to make dua, then let him glorify Allah first, and then let him send salutations upon me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then let him make dua for whatever he wants to make dua for. So ikhwani, you have to come to learn about this ibadah. There are things that you can do to make your dua accepted. There are certain times that you have to know about that will make your dua accepted. There are certain things that you can do that will make your dua rejected. We have to come to learn about that. We're fasting in the month of Ramadan. Why don't we use this weapon of dua? And Imam Abu Hanifa, he had a number of enemies. And Imam Abu Hanifa, he used to say, Rahimullahu Ta'ala, as Al-Imam Al-Dahabi brought in his book, Sir Alam Al-Nubala, he used to say, when someone came and told him about what some of the envious, jealous people were saying about him, lying about him, he said, no problem. I'm going to shoot the arrows of the nighttime at him. You know what the arrows of the nighttime are? Those are the arrows when you get up in the last third of the night to make Qiyam al-Layl and you ask Allah to get your enemy, to deal with your enemy. The dua of the oppressed is accepted. The dua of the father and the mother for the child is accepted. The dua of the mother and the father against the child is accepted. The dua between the adhan and the iqamah is accepted. The dua on Friday is accepted. The dua at the door of the Kaaba is accepted. The dua of the traveler is accepted. The dua of the one who is earning our halal is accepted. The dua of the girl, the lady who puts her hands up to the sky and raises her hands up while making dua is accepted. And Allah hayy tadi yastahi an yarfa 'abdu ilayhi yaday fa yurduhuma as-sifra kha'ibatay. Allah is living and he's most generous. He is shy for his slave to raise his hands to him, and then Allah doesn't put anything in his hand. So Rasulullah would pray like this, he would pray like this, and the day of Badr he used to pray like this. Oh Allah, if this small band of people from my companions are destroyed, then you won't be worshipped on the face of the earth. And he would exaggerate. You can go, and you can ask a righteous brother, you think he's righteous, Abdullah, make dua for me. But after asking him, you shouldn't sit there like this. doing the haram, Abdullah is making dua for me. You ask him to make dua for you, and you hope that Allah would accept it. But for us to go to Al-Madinah, to go to the grave of Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, my wife, she can't get pregnant, help the situation, it's haram. Rasulullah can hear in his grave. He can hear, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's praying in his grave. The hayat al-barazakhiyah. Salawatullah wa salamu alayhi. But he can't do anything. He can't help anything. The way that he helps us is by us following his sunnah. So we're going to stop here, insha'Allah ta'ala. If anything was said that was right and exact, then that's from Allah wahduhu la sharika la. If anything that was said that was wrong and correct, then that's from me and shaytan. I take refuge in Allah Azza wa Jal from the evil of shaytan. And if anyone felt offended or anything by it like that, as a result of what I'm said, as a result of what I said, don't be offended. That wasn't my intent to offend you. But I don't apologize. Our religion is that Quran and the authentic sunnah, the way the companions understood it. If we continue to hold on to our cultures, we're going to remain divided. I hold on to my culture, you hold on to your culture, we're going to remain divided. اتبعوا ما أنزل إليكم من ربكم ولا تتبعوا من دونه أولياء. Hold on to what was revealed to you from your Lord, and don't hold on to anything other than that. وإذا قيل لهم اتبعوا ما أنزل الله قالوا بل نتبع ما ألفينا عليه آباءنا أولو كان آباءهم لا يعقلون شيئا ولا يهتدون. When it is said to them, follow what Allah revealed, they say, no, we're going to follow what we found our fathers doing. Allah said, even though their fathers don't know anything, they can't even read and write. Some of their fathers can't even read and write in Jahiliyyah. And this is the example of some Muslims as well. When it is said to them, follow what Allah revealed, they say, no, we're going to follow what we found our fathers doing. Even though their fathers can't, they don't have any knowledge and they're not guided aright. Okay, Khwani, I'm going to stop now asking Allah Azza wa Jal by His Ism as A'zam to have mercy upon all of us and all of the Muslims, and to forgive all of us and all of the Muslims, and to establish our feet firmly upon the Kitab and the Sunnah, and to make us all people of a Tawheed, and to enter us into His Jannah to Firdaus, and to save our faces collectively from the Adab of the Nar. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ ونسأل الله تعالى التوفيق والسداد.
جزاك الله خير أبو أسامة for the very nice reminder. Inshallah, are you okay with questions, sir?